Hello, Jousey.
Hi, Phil.
It's that time again, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
Us to chat on.
We don't record on Tuesdays, but for them receiving this, it's Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Podcasts come every Tuesday.
And we're without Gemma again.
Yeah, we are.
So we've got to try and keep it.
The problem being so good and so popular is everybody wants to see you. Everyone wants to, so it's just left to the boring old men to pick up the slack. Don't worry, Jim, we'll do your work for you.
You enjoy yourself.
You prance around being the physiotherapy celebrity that you're becoming, and we'll just pick up the work and see if we can entertain our listeners with a topic on fitness.
Yeah.
It's a good one today.
They're all good ones, aren't they, really? Well, they are. What we find exciting though, mate, we've said it before.
Might not be there,
cup of tea, but hopefully someone will.
There's some people out there listening at the moment.
Yeah, they're doing alright.
They're not all running away from us. We'll see what we are in a year's time. I listen to our podcast. Yeah. So there's two people listening to them, me and my mum.
Me as well.
Oh, three. So that's nice. Season planning.
Yeah, that's a big topic. See if we can keep it condensed.
Yeah, we're going to sort of do the basics, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to try not to talk too specifically about a sport. We're going to try and talk about the sort of concepts of season planning. I think that the interesting thing is that season planning is a relatively unused concept. I think I personally find it incredible, but it's not everybody that has a season plan.
Is that in terms of just professional sport or
across the board? Professional sport across the board. I mean, a lot of people are just, I'm just training.
Yeah.
You know? Just sort of hoping that coincidentally they get better. You know, not everyone follows a training program. I mean, for me, a training program isn't a season plan. You know, it's sort of like, got the feeling I'm not so good at squats, or got the feeling that my run's lacking, I just download a program, follow that, see what happens. And it's not part of anything bigger.
Definitely happens a lot in my sport, but yeah.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it happens across. I just don't understand it. I mean, I'm a sort of, as you are yourself, mate, you're sort of, we're someone who questions all the time, why, like, what is that part of, and why are we doing that? And I think the most relaxed and the most easygoing I can have my athletes there is when they know what the roadmap is. Yeah. What the path is, what the plan is, where we're going and what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And it's just such an element of calmness in that roadmap that they have the next... Yeah, I mean, we've called it season planning, so the next season plan, but also the next 2, 3, 4 years plan of what is this part of? There's an idea. It might not always come to fruition, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've just had the Olympics.
Yeah.
So that's like, that is a 4-year plan.
It is, yeah, it is. It's a 4-year budget in any case.
They wanna win the world champs, European champs, everything kind of sandwiched in between, but they're not looking to be their peaking best, absolute best, until that next Olympics.
Yeah,
comes around. That's a long time to be controlling that process.
Absolutely, and I think it all for season planning is all about peaking.
Yeah,
it's all about hitting that day or that period or whatever your sport is on the money.
Yeah,
you know, landing that day and getting things right.
Yeah,
that's the that is the art, if you like, of program design and season planning and arriving to the day in the perfect form or the best form you can possibly be in.
Yeah.
I don't know what I mean. I think our systems are very, very similar, but we tend to work backwards.
Yeah.
So I tend to sort of start, okay, where do we need to end? And for me, training as a concept is very, very simple. Here's where I want to go on one side of the table, and here's who I am now.
Yeah.
And everything that exists in the middle there is our training. So, I mean, the simple thing is just a 5 kilometer run, for example, is a very easy thing to say. I run 5 kilometers in 30 minutes and I would like to run it in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You have a start point, you have an end point, and everything in the middle is then the complexity that comes into training programs for across all sports. And it sounds like, I mean, I think the listeners are probably listening thinking, well, that's obvious. Tell me something new.
Yeah.
But it's not obvious. And it's not used. And it's not used by a lot of athletes.
Because people always want to be better tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, they want to be as close to that threshold as soon as possible. Absolutely. And then try and hold it there.
Absolutely.
Is the common.
And that's where it goes wrong, it's not phasical. It doesn't go through logical progression and logical phases. It's let's bang my head against the brick wall until there's a hole in the wall. And then when there's a hole in the wall, I keep banging it until the hot wall falls down and I'm there. What they don't understand is at some point they get a hole in the head. They have to stop putting the wall. And the season planning is that logical progression from point A to B, but how you get from A to B. And that's the skill, the art and the enjoyment of us as a coach is how do we take our athlete from point A to point B and so on. And so we end up with this, at any level you have a goal, you have and you have a sort of subconscious athlete, they're good at overplaying it a lot of the time, but they have this sort of subconscious feeling of what is possible.
Yeah.
You know, they don't say, I want to do, I don't hear, you know, you don't. They get a rough idea of where the level is. You don't get that completely unreasonable. Occasionally you do. And then you've got to say, look, you know, calm yourself down. You know, you're not going to do that. But it's not often. Most athletes have an idea of who they are and where they're going. And they sort of know roughly. You might have to tweak it up or down by a few minutes or whatever. But we're out there and that's where we're going to. And then we've got our testing procedures, and we sort of test them to find out, well, what's the body doing now? What does it look like now? What condition is it in? Where's its weaknesses? Where's its strengths? And that testing can be incredibly complex, from blood works, laboratory tests through to muscle screens and everything else like that. And so you're just trying to build as a coach this idea and this, even if you're self-coached and you're a sort of recreational athlete, you're still trying to get a picture of who am I as an athlete. And ultimately that's why athletes love to be tested, or love a piece of paper at the end of a test to show them who, it sort of gives them a little bit of an insight as to who they are, and then how far they are away from what it is they're trying to achieve and where they're trying to go. So we're going from point A to point B, and our first job as coaches is to divide that time up.
Yeah.
And prioritize some things. So saying, and how long we say, see, this is a podcast on season planning, but how long A to B is could be 1 year, could be 2 years, depending on how ambitious the goal of the person is. But we just say they've got a goal we've assessed is reasonably achievable within that season, within that year.
Yeah. When we look at Jess Ennis, obviously the Olympics is fresh. Olympics is fresh in the mind, and Jess Ennis has just gone and taken a silver medal. And when you hear in a post-competition interview, like between winning the gold 4 years ago and hitting silver now, she's spent the time having a baby and also being injured.
Yeah.
Because in that time, she's not had the full 4 years. She's had 9 months of being pregnant.
Yeah.
Plus then, how many months does it take to adjust to being
a
mum?
Yeah.
Managing that, trying to train with all these new, potentially lack of sleep, numerous factors that can vary from parent to parent. And she got these injuries, which we've talked about in our kind of podcasts about the going too early too soon. Like, she was forced into that acceleration.
Yeah.
She couldn't have the ideal season plan that enables her to go from 2012 to 2016. She's had to have this interruption and then potentially ramp up that program a lot faster, and then had the injuries, had the stutters, and she still finished with a silver medal, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Wonderful woman.
Yeah. One of our greats.
So you've got A to B.
Yeah.
And we're going to divide this time up into logical sections. These logical sections are 4 to 6 weeks. They tend to be, because 4 to 6 weeks is roughly the time it takes us to get used to a certain training system and start to not to get a benefit from it and adapt from it. Do you want to talk a little bit about compensation and super compensation and how that works?
In terms of movement?
Or in terms of the body developing into a training phase?
We can take that. Obviously, we've got to talk through there on taking that peak, from building, going almost back to our momentum topics. If we start small and then not starting anywhere near where we need to be come the end of the season, because we can't hold it that long. So phase on phase builds throughout the year to eventually get to that point where we never hit, where we hit our peak without plateauing. If we go too early too soon, then literally we're in a state of hitting that plateau and maintaining it for the season, which is hard. It's demanding on the body. It's going to take a lot out of the body, and that whole, if you can hold it and you happen to be good enough, great. The thing is turning around, learning from it, and being able to adjust it next season. Or did you see it as a success? I say that that's the problem with training sometimes, and well, it's definitely the problem with performance. We can get too caught up on never learning from not learning from failures, and the thing is, we can be winning and not failing, but failing. But because we won, we don't see that we failed. So then to adjust the program and to adjust the season, to change it when it seemed to have worked for you, but actually in truth you weren't the best you could be, you actually plateaued, but luckily you got through it. The other person might plateau, and then that's it, the system is so tired from trying to hold that level for so long that you just end up injured.
Good. So what Jouty mentioned, the word plateau, many times during his example there, and that's ultimately the key to it, is that when you begin a new training stimulus, of course you create certain stresses on the body, and those stresses then will cause an adaptation. They cause an adaptation because you are trying to ultimately protect yourself. So the body doesn't know you want to be stronger, faster, fitter. The body just sees you creating stimulus, assesses it as some form of risk, and will adapt the body so that next time you do the same thing for the body, you're better at it. So of course, when you go through an initial training stimulus, you do something, you put a stressor on your body, the body will go through an adaptation process. This is called a supercompensation.
From an overload.
From an overload, because the body's having more on it than it's used to. And of course, like anything else, as I get used to Jousey's northern accent, the body gets used to these used to the new stimulus, used to what's happening, and then of course there isn't the reactions from it anymore. There isn't the stimulus, and there isn't the need to be stressed, and it's not causing the same amount of stress in the body. The body therefore
Am I stressful, mate?
No, you're not stressful at all, buddy. You are a pleasure to be around, as always. And so Jousey's talked about that plateau there, and that plateau is that point at which the body is now used to it and you're not getting the same stimulus from it. So we've talked about A to B. We've talked about we've got our person we would like to be, and we've got that person we are, and that's created our training goals. And then we divide those training goals up into different segments and targets of I would like to achieve this by that point, this by that point, and this by that point. And so ultimately the training program we then create for ourselves or for our athletes is working towards those particular goals, towards which, and then when you collect those three goals up, you've achieved your final goal at point B. And we do that via a form of super compensation or creating stimulus on the body that then allows the body to adapt, adjust, and move forward. And that's why we have the 4 to 6 week phases. I mean, sometimes a phase can be as short as 1 week, can also be a little bit longer as 10 weeks. If it's something that's very, very new and highly skilled, that might be 10 weeks, and it's something that the body has been through many, many times before, and it's just a sort of a brush up, then it might just be a 1 to 2 week phase. So that's not set in stone that it's 4 to 6 weeks. It's just that's typically when you'll have some form of reaction to the stimulus put on. So you've got these sort of breakdown of point B, which is where we want to end at the end of the season. We break that down into little nuggets or little chunks, goals, what? Little chunks, and then we ultimately prioritize those chunks. Then we'll put those chunks into what's a logical progression and say, well, let's work on chunk one. And here's the different sort of, here's the interesting part, if you like, of planning the season, because now I can choose, do I go for chunk one, chunk two, and do the logical progression and get chunk one ticked off, get chunk two ticked off, and get chunk three ticked off, or do I say I'll work on 1, 2, 3 and achieve 30% in first phase if I've got three phases and try to achieve them like that. And again, that's very specific person to person, but yeah.
Do you have somewhere where you kind of start? Because I think most people out there probably have a lot of people develop systems and methods and somewhere where they start. How long will you normally start somebody from a similar point and then adjust? So like maybe you've chosen your season plan, you've got a periodization model that you prefer to use, but then you see that it's you adjust it because it doesn't fit that person, it needs to change, or how do you do that?
As in a model for...
So what I'm trying to say, like, is you've talked about having the different blocks and going 1, 2, 3 or one, like, are you going up logically or not logically? Where have you decided that from having seen them before, or like, is that then a... Well, I'm gonna start everyone with the 1, 2, 3 process, and then you've seen that it didn't work, and now so you're gonna go with this person. You're gonna go differently with your block ordering.
The decision is made primarily based on the assessment of the athlete, based on their goal, based on the time zone, and what we have. I mean, just one thing that springs to mind there is the athlete's preference as well. It's got a lot to do with how they. You know, some athletes, they really like that linear progressive process where they just sort of get a little bit better every week, and that's fine. Other athletes, they sort of need the stimulus of changing things all the time and need a new workout every day. And others, they like to do the same workout 3, 4, 5, 6 times to try and improve it and get better at it.
Yeah.
Where other athletes sort of need something new every week to keep fresh in the mind. And so, I mean, this is other psychological aspect to that as well. But I think also there is so many factors and elements in that go into a season plan, and so we've far more than we could cover in a 30-minute podcast. But the athlete's fibre type would be very relevant. The way the athlete adapts to stimulus in the past has a huge role to play.
So I mean, So what you're saying there, you're kind of answering my question. Is it's going to take time to find the. It's going to take some years. to find that process, because you've got to test so many different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see that it works.
Well, I mean, from a standpoint, I always start with an athlete, I'll always tell them that, you know, we'll improve you this year, don't get me wrong, but where you'll be good is 3-4 years time.
Right, you know, so it's that long.
And I see the sort of I see it clearly with my athletes when I've had them for 3 or 4 years that they're, you know, there's a significant difference in them and they're flying. And that is because we get better at the process, you know, we get better at understanding their bodies and better at the things that help them and better at the things that peak them and better at the things that sort of, take that process and make it a more scientific process. And as I say, there's so many elements that go into that. And for the people listening at home that aren't coached and that are trying to figure this out for themselves. Yeah. I mean, the first thing is you don't know yourself as well as you think you know yourself. Your coach always knows you better than you do. So, I mean, I'd always tell people to get a coach. I mean, I have a coach myself, you know, that writes my programming for me, because as you do, because that's essential. So we break these points down and we go work back from, let's say we divide our target where we want to be at point B into three, and then we make a decision based on workload, how many hours I've got, the fiber type, the athlete type, my experience, my history, my injuries, my flexibility, etc. All of those things come into play, and then
recovery,
and then as a coach you sit down and make some logical decisions, or as a person make some logical decisions of, I would like to, I mean, a lot of the time, it's goal setting ultimately, but it's sort of process goal setting rather than I want to be there at that time. And a lot of season planning does is it takes the focus off the end goal.
And what's one foot in front of the other, what's coming
just
right now.
Just working on the process of the next step, and that's really important in the season, because sometimes it's too big a chunk to bite off a whole season, you know, where season planning is really about, okay, we get to that point and we do that. And that's where the goals and the phases of the super compensation of the plateau, of having 4 to 6 weeks of working on that particular element or 2 or 3 different elements, and then doing something new. Yeah. And you know, you're feeling like, okay, I don't need to think about my race because the processes take care of themselves.
What's funny is, like, you talk about those periods of the season and those blocks and those focuses, and you've sat down with the athlete and you've talked through where they're going to be at that point B in time. But then they always worry about where they are.
Absolutely.
They'll always have that wobble.
Absolutely.
Where they're like, oh, but this just feels so bad at the moment.
Absolutely. As it should do.
Yeah. But you literally, we're kind of, sometimes that we have that conversation, that same conversation 3 times in the year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially in where we're working in, we're working in what I call event-based sports. We're not talking about team sports. And season planning for team sports is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, that's not for now. But the individual events-based sports is in, I'm peaking 3 times a year and I've got to peak on 3 days. You know, I've got 3 1-day. And as I say to my guys, you need to feel good 3 days a year. And as long as you feel good 3 days a year on the 3 peaks, you this year has been a fantastic season. You don't need to feel good at any other point. Now, it's nice to feel good at different points, but I mean, I think the classic, what I call Ironman syndrome, is I need to feel good 4 months before I do my Ironman to get the confidence to do my Ironman.
Yeah.
So you've got athletes running around in tip-top shape, having trained ridiculous amounts of hours and stuff the 4 months before. And it's so often I'll hear, 4 months before I was flying, and then I went downhill and I couldn't quite get up and I couldn't quite get my speeds back and I lost this, because you're tired, because you just smashed yourself, because you've overtrained. And so
I'm having that conversation with somebody right now.
Yeah. You know, you're pushing too hard at that point, and then when you really need to push hard, when you really need to be working, you can't, because you've already topped, you've already peaked, and you're gone. Yeah. And even, I mean, even sort of 6 weeks before, feeling great 6 weeks before, it's far, far, far too early. And for me, as a coach, of course, you're also thinking, oh, you know, it's nice to have happy athletes.
Yeah.
It's nice to have them.
It's quiet.
Yeah, it's an easy life, and it's nice to have them sort of running around in great form and winning the local races and stuff like that, because even they're off our backs for one. But that isn't the point.
No.
The point is 3 weeks before they start to say, oh, I feel good now. It's coming. You know, I'm there. And then 2 weeks before, there's the buzz and everything else. And then race day, they're out and they're performing. And then we're recovering them, and the preparation for the next race starts again. And that's tough as a coach to explain that to the athlete, that if you're feeling great 6 weeks before, we've probably missed your peak, because most of them have already peaked at some point. So they know what it feels to have a peak. And if they don't feel like, the first peak's easy, because it's every week you get better. But they've been there before, and they know I felt like this last time.
Yeah.
So, and I don't feel like that now. And why don't I feel like that now? You don't feel like that now because you're not topped yet. But look at your watts. And that's the interesting thing, you know, the figures and the numbers, they're the same as they were last year when you were peaking. But you feel dreadful because you're in a better shape.
Yeah.
And so you want that security and that feeling. And part of the season planning is a security in that. And if the athlete has a season plan that they can see, they have a roadmap for them, it's on a piece of paper or on a computer screen, they can see, I shouldn't be feeling good now. I should be feeling tired at this point. I should be crawling out of my bed at this point. I should be jumping around at this point. This is about quality. This is about quantity. This is about skill development. This is about race tactic development. This is about food development, or whatever it may be. You can take it with a little bit easier. You can take it a little bit sort of in your stride at that. Okay, I shouldn't feel good now because I'm working on this. You know, when the guys are going through their what we call the sort of volume phases.
Yeah.
They're just physically tired. And when they're going through what we call a sort of speed based and working on sort of base level speed, they're not as tired, but things hurt. You know, soreness is high. And of course, neither of those things need to be present when we're topping.
Yeah.
But to get the most out of the sessions there, they need to be feeling and going through that. I think that I've often been quoted as saying there's no such thing as overtraining. It doesn't exist. And perhaps I've been misquoted slightly in the press with that, because what I'm saying, there's no such thing as overtraining, is there's just bad programming, bad recovery, bad food and everything else, because ultimately if your program is right, you should have periods where you're walking around feeling tired, but that period shouldn't be more than sort of 4 to 6 weeks, because you're going through a 4 to 6 week phase. So bringing it all sort of together now, we're trying to work in success. We're trying to sort of hold the athlete in success all the time. They've got a roadmap. They understand the roadmap. They're clear about the direction in which we're traveling. They know where they should be feeling at different times, and they know what they should be achieving from those different phases with their end goal in mind. So really, that's the skeleton of season planning. And what the athletes then need to do is sort of put the muscles and everything and the meat onto those bones and say, well, okay, for me, that is these amount of hours training, or this amount of distance, or this amount of speed, or this finish time, and then forget that.
Yeah.
I always have a training session 14 days before a big race that they're training for. They're never training for the big race. And when they've completed that training session 14 days before, we start talking about what's coming in 14 days' time. You know, because it just sort of takes the focus and the pressure away and gets the processes right. And ultimately, if you've got 10 processes, and within each process you've got 10 processes, all you ever think about an athlete is, I've just got to get my process right tomorrow. And if you did it, you did it. If you didn't, you didn't. So if that day becomes very much pass or fail.
Yeah.
And athletes, they're motivated and clever enough to say, fail today, I'll do it right tomorrow. They're good at that. If you have 3 or 4 fails days in a row, then probably you need to talk to your coach or to come up and have a chat, and we'll adjust some things. But for the most part, they feel like, well, yep, tick the box for today. And as long as every night they lay in bed and say, tick the box for the day, because they've got this season plan, they've got the trust in that I don't need to think about tomorrow, I don't need to think about next week, I just need to tick my boxes. You know, and every day I come home and I tick my box, and I've got the trust that then ends me where I need to be, and it does. And then you have a happy athlete, and they don't need to feel good. So I think that the most important element of season planning for me is that we have an overview and it's a communication.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time,
a
lot of the time, as coaches, I can see that. You know, a lot of the time, I can see the plan, I have it in my head, I have it stored. But just having the athlete to be able to see it, or if someone who's self-coached or someone who's just bought a ticket for their first, or wants to do the Open or first marathon or doing an Ironman or whatever it is, who's just going to self-coach, being able to sit down and have a little bit of an idea of the direction you're going in makes an enormous difference. And it might even be more important than the actual meeting the programme. You know, that there is a programme and there is a structure to follow. So
and the focus of it. Because sometimes you can just have a program, but like I say, if you're that person that's just trying to beat the day before, regardless of like what phase you're in, then that's where you're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, because you can't win every day.
Where you're knowing that, like you said with your running, we're doing a slower phase right now. You're allowed to run slowly, that is the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not running, trying to run faster, trying to run the distance is faster, the longer distance is faster, as well as doing the sprint training. It's like, no, this was this faster, this day slow day.
Yeah.
Because, why.
Exactly. So
how much detail, how.
Yeah. And having the trust that, well, I'm going to get faster at this point, and I'm going to learn to go further at this point. And that's that. And at this point, I'm working on everything as one. And I don't need to worry about what I'm not doing now because I know it's coming. And I know it's in there, and I will be able to do it by that point. And of course, there's a huge priority there of what is, of course, the last two phases up towards the event are the phases that pretty much dictate your performance on the day. So them two phases are the phases you discuss the most first. What brings the best out in you as an athlete? And when you know what brings the best out in you as an athlete, you use those phases, of course, as what we call the peak phases. And of course, that's different from athlete to athlete. There's never an athlete that needs the same peak phase. Unfortunately, there's a lot of coaches that do just have a sort of blanket one-fits-all program.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. That's a real shame. It's a shame for the athletes. And for me is a warning sign. If you're following a program that your mate's got, get another program.
I mean, that's why I asked you that question earlier on in the podcast of like, how do you change that? And you obviously answered it with you've done all the testing, you've done done everything like that. But and sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, following a program is better than trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're paying for a program from a coach, then it should be different to your mates. It should be different from the other people's. It can't be the same because you're not the same. And that, you know, then the enormity of your end result, the enormity of what your goal is so huge that you can't just tackle that on its own. You need to break it down into individual sections, and those individual sections need to be planned for you. They need to be based on what you need to improve, because we might have the same goal. You and I might have the same goal of running, let's just for fun say, running the 3-hour marathon. Now, you need to work on things that I don't need to work on. In that, to get to that 3-hour marathon, and let's say we both got our best times is 3:15, and we both want to get to 3 hours. You might need to work on endurance. You might need to work on being able to hold the distance. Your problem might be that the distance is just a bit long for you. My problem might be that I have problems running at that speed. So I need to develop my speed and power, and actually, therefore, what I need to do going into the race would be shorter speed based work. What you need to do going into the race would be longer endurance based intervals. I mean, that's the same for CrossFit and any sport in the world. I mean, not our programming for CrossFit, but you know, you need to be going into your strengths and boosting up your weak sides and feeling good going into the races or the events. And so we've got the same goal, but ultimately our season plans should be completely different because we've got different weaknesses. You know, I might be biomechanically sound, just not cardiovascularly in great shape. So my first phase, my base phase, is going to be getting my lungs going, but not my hips. You might have a fantastic pair of lungs on you, but are biomechanically a wreck. So you'll be in the gym lunging, squatting, moving, getting ready. And how can we then have the same program just because we have the same goal? You know, it should never happen. And it, unfortunately, it does. So, I mean, that's the sort of introduction of season planning, why it's important, challenging you guys actually to sit down and, I mean, sit down with a blank piece of paper, take your pen and just write down your goals, write down your plan and make a structure for what you're going to do over the next year or 2 years and break your goals down and look at what you can do. I mean, phases, there's plenty of phases you can work on and things you can work upon. And then you're focusing more on the skill element of the sport rather than just following training phases.
Yeah.
You know,
that was great.
Had fun.
Enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it's going well. Good. Cheers, take it easy, guys.
See you later.